there, I'm Leah Ben Miller, the worship leader of the local church, and you're listening to the Local Church Podcast featuring the messages from our Sunday liturgy. The Local Church is a bold, inclusive faith community based in Chatham County, North Carolina, and our mantra is our mission, love where you are. We gather for affirming, anchoring, and empowering worship every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at Woods Charter School and online via Facebook Live and YouTube. No matter where you find yourself physically, spiritually, or emotionally, you belong at the local church. And we're so glad you're here.
All right, here is our scripture for this morning, friends. It's from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. This text is read on the Sunday after Easter each and every year. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails in my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for all of God's creation. Thanks be to God.
Team. Good morning, local church. How are we doing? Are we good? It's so awesome that you were here. I want to do this. Can we just look back at that camera right there and just wave to our folks who are online? Like, they join us so faithfully every week, and we're so grateful for them. My name is Rajiv Tiwari, and I am a faithful member of this community, and I'm just trying to figure out my title. Yeah, see, I don't even have something after that. I love coming here. I love this church. I love these people. And so it's a joy to be with you this morning. So just like we read in scripture, we can count 13 times of what some would call the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. And so after Jesus, rose from the dead, we can count 13 times. He appears to the women at the tomb. He appears to the two men on their walk to Emmaus. He did all sorts of normal things, like, he had meals, and he would go for walks, and he would go fishing. And then he took his disciples up to a mountain in the book of Matthew in the 20th chapter for the ascension, which is, when Jesus gave his last words, and then, boom, he's gone. He's up there. but before he ascended into heaven, he tells his disciples, and this is from the book of Matthew, to go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations, you know, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and to obey everything that I have commanded you. You know, tell them the story of what you've just witnessed. Tell them the good news of my coming. And then nestled in there is a verse. This is, once again, from the book of Matthew. Nestled in there is a verse that so many people just kind of tend to skip over and not think about, probably because it's so normal to us. And it says this. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." But some doubted. And I think that's the part that we kind of just like, of course, you know, skip over that. Doubt's a normal thing. And I think there's this obvious fact about human nature that I want to point out. And this is true for me. And, you know, I don't know if it's true for you, but if it's not, I think you're lying. But oftentimes we see people go through things in life, or sometimes, you know, we see people struggling and we say things like, "Oh, thank God that's not me." Or, you know, "Man, that looks bad. I feel a lot better about, you know, my life and the things that I'm going through." And I'm not talking about like super serious things. I'm talking about, you know, like a friend who posts a picture of their car who got like rear-ended in Target or something like that. Or, you know, you step in dog poop at the park. You know, we can feel better about ourselves when we see, you know, someone else go through things that we can imagine, but we just kind of choose not to imagine. So saying that, I feel a little better about my life and my faith, knowing that the guys who followed Jesus from the start of his ministry to his dying day on the cross doubted that this man, Jesus, was actually who he said he was when he showed up after the resurrection. So me in 2023, I feel a little better knowing that the disciples, the model followers of Jesus, had some doubts about what they were seeing. And, you know, like, there are moments where I am so tapped into God, right? Like, I feel God's presence, and I can worship freely, and there are moments where Jesus feels so near to me. I can picture, you know, Jesus putting his arm around me, telling me that things are going to be okay, and even when I'm up here on this stage worshiping and playing guitar and singing my heart out, I feel the presence of God, and it's so real and personal. But, you know, immediately after those moments, I start getting into my own head. You know, I take a step back and I look around. Then I think, is this real? Like, is this anything? I mean, what if this is all just made up? You know, sometimes I'll pray for something for so long and then nothing happens, and then life is the same. Or sometimes life is worse. And then I feel lonely, and then I feel scared and ashamed that I'm doubting the power of God, the power that God has to transform. I feel ashamed that I'm doubting that. You know, and I think in Christian circles, when you doubt, you know, we often feel like we're doing something wrong. You know, we get scared, and then we want to ask questions, and then we start feeling embarrassed about wanting to ask our questions, because we'll start thinking, you know, what will they think of me if I ask this question? You know, this is something that we all learned in Sunday school, and, you know, I just forgot that. Like, what are they going to think of me if I ask that? And I think this is true of the church and of this faith, that people will often step away from this because they have questions that they don't feel safe asking. And there are people who just feel like they cannot safely express their doubts. So let me ask you this question. Do you ever battle with doubts? You know, I deal with doubt all the time. You know, I doubted that the New England Patriots would come back from a 28-3 deficit in that Super Bowl a couple years ago. I love sports, as you can tell. I doubted that the Farley Dickinson Knights would beat the number one seeded Purdue, you know? But why do we doubt? And I think there are two reasons. And the first is that there are questions that we simply cannot answer. The first reason is that there's questions that we simply cannot answer. So maybe you come across something in Scripture and you see that it says this here, And then it says that there, you know, so what is true? You know, what actually happened? They call it a sermon on the plain in Luke, but they call it a sermon on the mountain. Matthew's like, which one is it? Which one like actually happened or whatever, you know? Those are questions that I have. And then the other reason is that, you know, people have been hurt by the church. You know, people have been hurt by the church, resulting in them having these doubts. You know, so maybe someone felt like church was a safe space for them, but it ended up not being that, because maybe you looked up to some Christian figure, and then they just got caught up in a scandal or something, or they just said, I'm no longer a Christian, and then you start doubting. You know, is any of this real? This person that I looked up to for so long just walked away from all of this. And sometimes, you know, if you're a Christian, I'm speaking to the Christians here, like, you know, we make it worse sometimes. You know, sometimes Christians see the world as too black and white. You know, it says, they think like, you know, the Bible says this and that's that. I think that's what they call like bumper sticker theology, right? Like there's no gray area. They just don't have any bend in their theology to be able to see the world as constantly changing. You know, if there's going to be like a thesis for this sermon, like if there's one main point, it's that your doubts don't draw you away from God. Your doubts can actually draw you closer to God. It's that your doubts don't draw you away from God. Your doubts can actually draw you closer to God. And it's important to understand that faith, this faith thing that we're all doing together, it is a journey, right? It is not a destination. Faith is a journey, not a destination. You don't ever just arrive at faith, right? Like, it's not like one day you've done the classes, you've done the tests, you've done like ordination and all these things. And then one day you graduate and like, you know, boom, you're there. There's no one that says, I get it all. I know it all. And if they say that, they're lying, right? And so hear this, the strongest faith is not a faith that doesn't doubt. The strongest faith is a faith that is, one, open to not always being right, and two, open to growing through doubts. So the first one is, the strongest faith is one that is open to not always being right, and open to growing through doubt. So, you know, take for example, like we just read, Thomas. The story of Thomas is a really interesting story because Thomas is one of the 12, and after the resurrection, he's the one who is not with the others when Jesus came to see them. Thomas, he just wasn't there. And so he comes back into the room, and they tell him, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord. And then Thomas replies with the most normal response to this wild claim. And look what he says. He says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe. And this is why they call him, say it if you know it, Doubting Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas. You know, every year, my family, we go to Chicago, Illinois, to visit family. And you know, Chicago is where I was born. It's where my parents got married. It's where all of our family is. I'm a Cubs fan. I think deep dish is the only way to eat pizza. All right, we're good. Okay. You good. I love Chicago. But in Chicago, they have the Lincoln Park Zoo. And it has all these animals. And my favorite exhibit to go to is the one that has all the monkeys and the gorillas. And people like love that and like to stay there and take pictures and watch them just do their thing. But right there in the middle is this enclosure is like a couple tree stumps for the monkeys to sit on. And every now and then they'll do something really funny or something really cool. Either they'll do like a flip or, you know, they'll smile or make a funny face or interact with someone on the other side of the glass. And every time my family is there, and they're always watching these animals do this thing, I'm always somewhere else. Like, I'm either, like, you know, in the bathroom, or I'm getting a pretzel, or I'm getting a snack, or I'm doing something else, not paying attention to this really cool thing, and then I'll come back, and then my mom is like, Haji, have you missed it? Like, the monkey, it did this awesome thing. And my first instinct is, like, let me see the security footage. Like, I didn't see it. I missed it. It didn't happen unless I see proof of it. You know, like that phrase, pics or it didn't happen, a video or it didn't happen. And there's nothing wrong with me. I think I'm just telling this to myself as well. There's nothing wrong with me wanting to see proof that this animal did this really cool thing. I want it to be true. Right? Like, I like seeing them doing cool things, but I didn't see it. So how can I believe it? And this is why I believe that Thomas is getting such a bad rap here, because Thomas's doubts should be really dignified. You know why the only reason the other disciples said what they said? It's because they saw it, right? They'd seen it. Like, and I relate to Thomas so much here. He was a realist, and he just wanted to know. You know, Thomas just witnessed, you know, this man he's devoted his life to get nailed to a cross and beaten senselessly, and he just watched his best friend die. You know, so it's not that crazy to think that Thomas had some questions about whether or not Jesus was actually there. You know, and his questions don't make him bad, right? Because, like I said, I think deep down, Thomas wanted this to be true. He wanted to see his Savior risen, and he wanted to see Jesus alive, but everything around him was just proving otherwise, right? Questions make him human. Oswald Chambers, he's a theologian, writer, poet, everything, smart guy. He says this. He says that doubt is not always a sign that a person is wrong. It may be a sign that he is thinking. Doubt is not always a sign that a person is wrong. It may be a sign that he is thinking. You know, Thomas, I think he asked the real questions. And so in our grounding moment, this was referenced. But when Jesus speaks of the many rooms in his Father's house in the 14th chapter of John, Thomas is the one who says, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How will we know the way?" And Thomas is asking a literal question here. He's really trying to understand, "Lord, how will we know where you are going?" But look at Jesus now, right? Like, how does Jesus respond to Thomas's doubt? Well, it says that 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time, Thomas was with them. I don't know where he was before, but this time he's with them. Then Jesus shows up, and he says, "Peace be with you." Then he looks at Thomas specifically, and he tells him to put your fingers here and look at my hands. You know, touch my hands. Don't be faithless any longer, and believe. Then Thomas shouts out and he says, "My Lord and my God." So what did Jesus do? He responds to Thomas's doubt by coming to him and giving him exactly what he needed. One moment Thomas was doubting, and the next moment he was shouting. And this shows me that God is not distant in your doubts. Right? When I read this, God is not distant in your doubts. And I hope someone hears this today, because Jesus is not some far-off savior. Right? When I read this, Jesus is willing to be touched. Right? So reach out to him, because Jesus is reaching out to you. Right? Thomas asked questions. Thomas needed answers. He got answers, and what did he do? He served faithfully. You know, and tradition tells us that, you know, after this, and after the ascension, when Thomas was doing his ministry in the world, he went to India, and he started the church in India, and he served there for a long time until he was martyred for his trust and his love in Jesus. So your doubts, friends, church, your friends do not disqualify your faith. And doubt is not best done alone. Because remember how when Thomas was with the community of believers, his doubt, it turned into faith. Doubting alone can be such a scary thing. You know, when you doubt alone, you get into your head and you start thinking, am I the only one? Or like I'm a mess, or I'm ashamed that I've spent my whole life in the church and, you know, I'm just not seeing it anymore. And I imagine Thomas felt a bit left out in those 8 days. You know, he felt a bit left out in those 8 days when he was constantly surrounded by these disciples talking about what they had just seen. But this time Thomas was there, surrounded by the community of faith, showing how important it is to have community around you when you have these doubts. It shows us how important, you know, local tables are, how important small groups are, how important gathering over meals and worship, coming here, doing this. Jesus shows up in all of his glory when we are together. But when we are just alone, I think sometimes we can tend to miss it. When we try to do this on our own, we tend to miss that resurrection power, right? So be like Thomas. I'm sure you've heard this before if you've been to church. You know, be like Thomas. Doubt. Ask questions. Have reservations. These are all parts of the journey of faith. You know, and like I said, your questions do not disqualify you. Your questions can draw you actually to a deeper understanding of God. So keep walking. And I imagine all of us have been where Thomas was, where we feel like we're in those 8 days. You know, those 8 days of sitting in our doubts and watching everyone around us exclaim Jesus' name. So keep walking, keep listening, keep thinking. You know, faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. So if your faith is the size of a mustard seed, I encourage you to reach out. You know, it's awkward and it's hard, but faith is not the absence of doubt. But faith is the means to push through doubt. Faith is not the absence of doubt. It's the means to push through doubt. And faith is best done with the power of community with you and behind you. You know, faith is it's best done with the power of community with you and behind you. So let's not give up. Let's not give Thomas a bad rap anymore. Let's be more like Thomas, because even in our doubts, who knows what will happen when we reach out and touch Jesus. So let's continue our worship now. Amen.
If you love what you hear, share this episode or send it to someone who could use a little good news this week. We'd also love for you to leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It's an easy way to share the love. You can learn more about the local church at our website, growlocal.church, or just come see us 1 week. Thanks for listening, and love where you are.